Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Thank you, God. Y'all look good this morning. You're a good-looking group this morning. I am so grateful for the presence of God. Can we just take a moment and invite His presence one more time? I don't want to move forward without the Spirit of the living God anointing everything we do. Come on, somebody. I want the Spirit of God to manifest in this place in a powerful way. Here's what I believe. Something's about to change. Something's about to shift. Something's about to take place in our lives. But here's also what I know. Nothing's going to change without us doing something. We've got to do something to see change. We've got to move to see movement. But God honors our action. When we step towards His Word and we step towards obedience, that's when breakthrough starts to take place. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I want breakthrough this morning. I want the transformation power of God. I'm grateful. Grateful for His love. Well, God bless you. My name is Jonathan. For those who don't know me yet, I would love to get to know you. I have the privilege and the honor of pastoring this great church, and this is our final week in our series we've been calling Friend Requests. We're talking about relationships, so y'all get ready. We're going to get up in your business a little bit this morning, but it's okay. The grace of God is here. The love of God is here. The freedom of God is here. But I want to warn you, the Lord has prompted me this morning to preach from some of the most challenging passages of Scripture. But I believe they teach us how we should relate with one another as Christ followers. Come on, somebody. See, Jesus came so that we would have life to the fullest. Who wants a full life? Who wants abundant life? I want it. I want the fullness of God. We have grace unspeakable, church. Come on, somebody. There is grace. I don't deserve it, but He gave it to me. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Come on, somebody. We have freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ. Here's the best news. We are friends of a Most High God. He has called us friends. We're no longer slaves, but we're friends in Jesus. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody needs to be stirred about that. My name is written in all of eternity. If we claim Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are going to live forever with Him in eternity. That's good news this morning. I love the benefits that we have in Jesus, but it doesn't take long when I read God's Word to recognize that Jesus calls us higher. Jesus calls us deeper. Jesus calls us to step up and step in. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to be renewed and transformed from glory to glory. We are called to a higher standard of living. If you bear the name of Jesus, you're called to live like Jesus. If you bear the name of Christ, you're called to live with greater responsibility. We cannot just live how we want to. Oh, no. I'm not trying to make you upset, but we can't live how we want to because we are birthed out of a flawed and sinful nature. That's who we are. But as we dive into this first scripture, I want to invite us to stand all across this room as we honor the word of the Lord today. If you're able to stand with us, and I want us to just prepare your heart right now to be called higher. Prepare your heart right now to get deeper into your walk with the Lord. I want us to go deeper into the presence of God. I don't want to just read and go through emotion. I don't want to just preach a cute sermon. I want transformation to happen this morning. I don't know about you, but the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I recognize I need to change in my life. The longer I walk with Him, the more I need to surrender and say, God, I can't do this without You. See, today's scripture is going to challenge every one of us because every single one of us have been deeply hurt by others. All of us have been deeply hurt by others, church. You have been deeply hurt by someone, and those scar tissue, those wounds are still there. And I believe the balm of Gilead can be applied to those this morning, and God can wash away bitterness. God can wash away hatred. God can wash away that shame and that guilt. And I believe every single one of us are called to relationship with one another. That's the hard part. We've all been hurt, but we all are called to relate with one another. I'm called to you. You're called to me. We're called to lock arms. We're called to walk this out together. But as we live in a sin-broken world full of people, this is the reality. Can I preach? Can I be real? This morning we live in a broken world where people will lie to us and they will lie about us. Anybody had that? People will lie to us and lie about us. But as Christians, we're still called to trust. We live in a sin-broken world where people will be hateful and say condescending things about us and to us. Anybody had that happen recently? People will talk negatively, poorly, talk behind your back. Come on, somebody. But as Christians, we're still called to care about others. We live in a sin-broken world where people will betray us. They will stab us in the back. They will say they'll do one thing but do another. Come on, is anybody real in the house? Has anybody experienced that before? I know I have. But as Christians, we're still called to extend the right hand of fellowship. That's what we're called to do. See, this is a difficult message, but it's powerful and it can change us. This verse that I'm about to read, it doesn't ask what kind of mood we're in. It doesn't ask, oh, how was your week this week? Are you feeling okay for me to move you forward? No, this verse gets in your face right away. It doesn't ask what the other person did. It doesn't ask what the other person is doing to relate with you. This verse is challenging. This verse is thought-provoking, and it tends to convict my heart no matter how often or regularly I have studied it. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, make every effort. Oh, conviction hit right about there. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone. Oh, my. Everyone. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Those that cheat you, those that lie to you, those that stab you in the back, those that persecute you, see to it that no one fall short of the glory of God, and that no bitter root grows in us to cause trouble and defile the many. Let's pray. Bow your hearts, bow your heads. Jesus, we need you this morning. Jesus, we love you this morning. Just tell them how much you love them right now. Jesus, we worship you one more time. We thank you for your presence today. We can't do this without you. We can't honor your word that you've just spoken over our lives without your power, without your strength. I want to thank you for calling us higher today. I want to thank you for calling us deeper and more madly in love with you this morning. What you're asking of us today, it is a difficult thing, but nothing can stop us with the presence of a living God in us. God, we live in a harsh world full of harsh individuals who would try to steal our peace and disrupt our tranquility. But God, many of us walked in this room with hurt. Hurt by others, hurt by people's words, hurt by people's actions. Many of us walked in this room with unresolved conflict with someone. Many of us could do better to live at peace with others because we've not yet made every effort. We haven't done everything we can, and for that we repent. But for that we need your help because we can't do it in our own strength, Jesus. God, I'm praying for your anointing this morning. I'm praying for your anointing this morning. Come on, somebody pray with me for the anointing of heaven. I proclaim that we can't do this, but you can. I am weak, but when I am weak, you reveal yourself to be strong in me, Jesus. May your church be full of peacemakers, Jesus. May Life Church be full of people that make every effort, Jesus. As we ask that We leave this place today forever changed. Change us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Love you guys. Thank you, Anjanette. What a challenge. I don't know about you, but I could just stop right there. It's a thought-provoking, difficult challenge. Make every effort to live at peace. Do that, my translation. Can I give you my translation this morning? Do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Do it. When you're tired of trying, come on, somebody. Y'all help me preach this morning. When you're tired of trying, then guess what? Try harder. When you're ready to give up on somebody, don't give up. When you're ready to turn your back on somebody, don't. Do whatever it takes. Make every effort to live at peace and be holy. See, God sent me this morning to preach and not beat around the bush this morning. As Christians, we are called to do the right thing even when others around us don't. We are called to do the right thing. It's not predicated on someone else's action or behavior. It's predicated on the grace of my Lord and my Savior. He said, they spit in my face, they'll spit in your face. They hated me, guess what? They're going to hate you. But my name is branded, it's connected, it's coupled with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So I'm going to do whatever it takes, no matter what. Come on, somebody. As Christians, we're called to do the right thing even when others don't. We can't just write people off when they hurt us. Come on, somebody. That is the enemy's tactic to divide us. That writing someone else off, can I tell you, that takes little effort. When you write someone compartmentalized, men in the room are like, man, I got my compartment. You ain't getting in it. I'm just going to put you to the side. Come on, man. Can I get a witness? We do that easily. That's easy to do. It takes little effort. Here's the culture that we live in. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching against the culture. This message from start to finish, I'm telling you, it's countercultural. We cannot just block people. We live in a cancel culture. Jesus didn't call us to cancel anything. He called us to do everything we can to live at peace with one another. See, unless it's for your safety or concern for your mental health, because there are some boundaries that people will push and overstep. And there are times, there is balance, but here's the deal. Make every effort first before you set up boundaries to put people too far away from you. See, too many people they choose to leave a church because of conflict. I'm just going to, any church goers, I've seen over and over, no matter what church I've been to, people will get in conflict and choose to go to the next church instead of deal with it. God calls us to deal with it, or they stop going to church altogether because conflict is hard. Conflict is uncomfortable. Conflict is not something that any of us want or like. Come on, am I real? I don't avoid conflict, but that doesn't mean I like it. And this verse has a challenge. It's a challenge that has nothing to do with how the other person behaves or responded. It has everything to do with the condition of my heart. It's all about us. It's all about me. I have to make every effort to live at peace, even if you don't. I have to do whatever I can to be at peace with you, even if you don't want to be at peace with me, because guess what? There are people that don't want it, but I still have to do. See, it has everything to do with me and very little to do with you if we're in conflict. The writer of Hebrews, I love this connection that he makes. He connects our ability to resolve conflict and live at peace with one another directly to holiness. Directly, this communicates to me that holy people live at peace with one another. Holy people live, that's good preaching this morning. I'm going to say it again. Holy people live at peace with one another. See, if you're claiming holiness, but you can't get along with anyone, you might want to check your heart, because the scripture says, do whatever it takes to live at peace and be holy, because they're connected. See, if you and I can't play nice and be in relationship, then we might not be as holy as we think we are. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes this morning, but it's just the truth of God's word. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Can I say that over your life? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called. As your pastor, I want to tell you, I pray a blessing over you every day of my life. I pace this sanctuary and pray for your family. I bless you. I pray for his favor to rest on you and that he would establish the work of your hands. Come on, somebody. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know the glorious inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus. I pray a blessing over you even right now, that as you come and as you go in your coming and going, you are blessed and favored by the Most High God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are peacemakers, for they are children of God." Yesterday was interesting at my house because all week long, can I be just transparent for it? Can I be real for a moment? I'm not going to stand on a holy throne. This is a holy thing to do. But all week long, as I've been compelled by the Holy Spirit to preach about conflict in relationships, that means all week long, God's given me the opportunity. All week long, I've been given the opportunity to practice what I preach. Come on. Because it's not powerful unless I practice it. I've had the courage to address some things that my gut reaction would be, you know what, I'm just going to let that sit. I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to dodge that landmine. But God has called me, "No, you're preaching about conflict. Do whatever it takes, son. Do whatever it takes." Yesterday was interesting because conflict's been at my doorstep, and the enemy knows that breakthrough is coming at our church. He knows that. And yesterday, can I just tell you, 2 out of 3 of my children were just going off the hinge. They decided it was not their day to listen to their father or mother, for that's right. They weren't being very honoring, and I'm not going to say their names, because if I say their names, I got a deal where I got to pay them $5 each, and I don't want them to get rewarded because they were in the doghouse, if you ask me. And Jubilee and I were giving instructions, and we were getting some kind of response. All the parents in the room, can I get a witness? We were getting this response. It was always a rebuttal. You don't talk back to me right now, was in my spirit. Can I get a witness? And an excuse was always coming to me as to why they should not do what I just said. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, anyone with me? Can I tell you, I didn't ask for a response. In that moment, I was father, dad, spiritual head of the house. Come on. I was asking not for a response. I was asking for obedience, all the parents said. And there was this moment, a moment where I had had enough. Can I just be real? I had enough, church. In mid-sentence, one of my children was proceeding to continue to talk back to their father. And y'all know what I did? I decided to take control of the room. Y'all ever heard a dad voice? I used my voice. It was commanding, church. I did not yell, but my voice was right at the echelon of determining between dad voice and yell. I was right at the limit, and I had reached it, and Jubilee quickly recognized it. And in that moment, Jubilee lovingly, because she is my better half, she interjected herself and gently said a mantra that reminded myself and our home that we say all the time as parents. She told me, "We don't have to lose our composure just because they do." Oh, that'll preach. That's what we communicate to one. Whenever I am weak, she is strong. And she said, "Jonathan, come on now. We don't have to lose our composure just because they did." And I heard those words, and I immediately, the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 12, make every effort to live at peace. Make every effort flooded into the forefront of my mind, church. And here's the cool part. I love Jesus because he's so good to us. He's not just going to get on my nerves. He's going to get on my wife too, because a couple hours later, it was dinner time, and the same kids that live in our house, the same kids that live under my roof, the same kids that I pay for, the same ones that we provide for, the same kids that have all their needs met and most of their wants, because we are good parents. Come on, somebody. The wants they have are fulfilled. Those same kids were driving us crazy at dinner and now pushing Jubilee to her limit. She was catching herself in that moment with a commanding tone. I like that. She was taking the room by force, just like I was. And here's the deal. We've been married for almost 20 years. Praise God. She has been duped for 20 years. But praise God, all I had to do in that moment, I looked at my wife, and all I had to do was smile. And in that moment, she knew exactly what I was thinking, just because they lose their composure does not mean we have to. I didn't say that because I know better, church. Come on, somebody. But she knew. The Spirit of God prompted us because we want to practice what we preach. We want to do everything. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I want to be blessed. I want my life to be blessed. I want my kids to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. So I want to teach us to be peacemakers this morning. It's God's desire for us to respond and to respond well to conflict. It's His desire. Too many Christians react when we are called to respond. Come on, somebody. We too many Christians who claim Jesus, the Prince of Peace, as their Lord and Savior, react when we're called to respond. An unhealthy reaction can destroy a relationship. You know what I'm talking about this morning. An unhealthy reaction can put a close to something that's flowing. Someone needs this today. We have two ears and one mouth because we should probably listen twice as much as we speak. Can I get a witness this morning? We often add to the pain of life and we exaggerate relational conflicts by overreacting. How many have done that before? Everybody in the house should raise your hand right now, because we all have fallen short in this area. If someone has an attitude with you, come on. Oh, you don't even know who you're talking to, is what, that's where my mind goes. Do you even know what's your name? Because I don't know that attitude. You get attitude and that attitude raises up in you. Can I tell you, respond? Don't react in Jesus' name. I said respond. Don't react. If a moment of conflict is heating up, can I tell you some good advice this morning? Listen and don't talk. Can I give you that advice, please, this morning? You're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset. Can you use your two ears and let your mouth stay shut for just a little while longer? Let me break it down for us real quick. You and I cannot control or change how others act. We can't do that. You can't control anyone. No one is able to. God has given us free moral choice, so everyone on this planet can do whatever the heck they want to. Come on, somebody. You can't control anyone's behavior, but here's what you can control. You can control how you react. You can control your behavior. You have every ability to make every effort to live at peace, no matter how they treat you. See, someone once said, life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. See, I like how another person put it, but this is easier said than done. I know this is a difficult word this morning. Don't get upset with people or situations. How do you do that, Pastor? Both are powerless without your reaction. Do you hear that? The situations and the people that are getting on your nerves are powerless if you don't react. If you stay still, if you stay at peace, if you say, you know what, God, I'm not going to let this move me. They can't change you. They can't challenge you. It's powerless without your response. See, the scripture I read says, do whatever it takes to live at peace, and that, my friends, is countercultural. It's difficult. Blessed are the peacemakers. Who, can you just think for a moment, who in our culture is doing this? Who is doing this right now in the world that we live in today? Because as far as I can tell, peacemakers in our culture, 2022, almost August, few and far between. There's not many people doing this. And when a situation makes me angry and it lights my fire because I got a fuse, and somebody does have the ability to light my fire, but I have the ability to put it out. I have the ability to calm myself. When everything in me wants to go off, come on, let's be real. You got this too. When everything in you wants to go off instead of make every effort to live at peace, I'm not thinking about the wisdom that is found in God's holy word. And I'm going to give you some of the wisdom. Can I give you some? Y'all ready for it? This morning, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh man, if you just say that one thing, I know you want to say it, and it's been on your mind. You've been planning it out. You've recognized this moment's going to come, and you played it out. Oh, I can't wait till they say this, because I'm going to say that. Come on, y'all are acting like y'all ain't guilty of doing this, because all of us do it. The moment you say it stirs up anger. A harsh word can stir up enough anger to ruin a relationship, to ruin our connection. One harsh text message. Oh, now I'm preaching. One harsh text message can change the dynamic of a friendship or end it, church. One harsh post. Oh, here we go. Social media. One thing. You don't use their name, but they know good and well what you meant. You post on that social media, it can change someone's opinion of who you are, but more than that, it can ruin your witness, church. It can ruin your witness. See, church, let's face it, relationships are messy. It's complicated. Friendships are complicated. People are quirky, and we are all weird. Every single one of us. If you don't think you're weird, you are lying to yourself. Because I'm weird. You're weird. You're strange. All of us are messed up in some way, y'all. Come on. Can we be real? And everyone, every single one of us are going to experience conflict. Not a single person will be exempt from it. See, here's the deal. If we are going to have healthy relationships, we have to deal with conflict in a biblical way. A biblical way. Not just the way culture tells us to deal with conflict. Oh, you be you. I hate that. No, I'm called to be a son of God. I'm not called to just do what I want to do. I'm called to surrender my heart to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he told me, do everything I can. If you don't think conflict resolution is an important thing for us to discuss, I came across something powerful. It's an amazing reflection of the day and age that we live in. And I promise I'm not trying to scare anybody. But I read this week about how Albert Einstein, one of the creators of the atomic bomb, he collaborated with some of the world's most brilliant scientists at the University of Chicago to create the first atomic bomb in 1945. Y'all know some history. 1945, the atomic bomb was created, and when they knew that they had succeeded in producing this weapon of mass destruction, he and the other scientists helped put into place what is now called the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. The Bulletin of Atomic... Pastor, what's that? Glad you asked. In the 40s, these brilliant minds reluctantly created atomic weapons of mass destruction. And this Bulletin of Atomic Scientists was established in 1947 as an evaluation board to warn the world of possible catastrophe that could be realized if the science they created was actually unleashed on this world. It was an advisory board to all of us. And when these atomic weapons first became a reality and the world was capable of simply pushing a button and missiles could end life on entire continents, this board was formed and they created this warning mechanism, and this is what they called it. They call it, to this day, it still exists, it's called the Doomsday Clock. The Doomsday Clock. And each year, to this day, 2022 is no exception. Each year, this scientific group still evaluates how close the world is to doomsday. This, when the group was founded in the 40s, this was just so fascinating to me. They focused much of their warning on their belief that there would be an end times apocalypse, just like we see in the book of Revelation. But here's the deal, to be clear as mud, in hopes that you're tracking with me this morning. This secular group of scientists made what is called a doomsday clock as an indicator of how close we are to a global catastrophe. This doomsday clock is monitoring the level of conflict in our world at a scientific level. And scientifically, it's assessing the likelihood of catastrophic war or global conflict. The clock is designed to be a countdown till midnight, based on the prophetic word in Revelation. Midnight's coming, church. Come on, somebody. And the doomsday clock has been in motion since 1947. And when midnight comes, that represents some form of man-made catastrophe. What are you preaching about this morning, Pastor? Why are you telling us this? I'm telling you this because according to the 2022 publication by the Science and Security Board of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, the current doomsday clock statement is that we are at doom's doorstep. They have assessed specifically that we are 100 seconds from midnight. 100 seconds from midnight. Can I tell you, church, that these are not theologians, that these are not Bible scholars, these are not prophetic teachers or prophetic preachers, these are not those standing in the street corner with a megaphone saying, repent because the end is near. No, these are scientists who are trained to make observations and assess what they see and say, they say we are 100 seconds from doomsday. We are closer than we've ever been. This is what they're saying, church. They are saying our world is so offended that we are closer to a global catastrophe than ever before. Our world is so offended that we're closer to a catastrophe than ever before. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, there's never been a time that is so vital for the Church of Jesus Christ, for every Christian to respond to this conflict with love and with peace. We must make every effort, church, come on somebody, to live at peace. The world is quickly falling apart. It doesn't take much to see that the world we are watching can and will wait for our response. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about Russia that is still continuing to destroy the peace in Ukraine and in Europe. The conflict has actually been going on for more than 8 years, but we have seen over 5 months of Russian invasion. Can I get a witness that gas pump prices are slowly lowering, but even as they're lower, they're higher than ever before. Come on, can somebody help me preach this morning? That causes conflict because my checkbook, my bank account makes it hard when the gas pump is so big. We're still putting all the pieces back together, church, from the global pandemic that COVID-19 created, vaccinated versus non-vaccinated, masked versus no mask, gather versus don't gather. Come on, somebody. The pandemic divided us for more than 2 years, and we still haven't recovered. We still haven't recovered. Floods are devastating Kentucky currently. Multiple people have died in floods. Earthquakes are destroying the infrastructure of the Philippines right now. 100 seconds until midnight. Oh, Pastor, that seems a bit extreme. No, how about this? Sexual confusion is more prevalent than ever before, and the homosexual agenda is more invasive than ever before, where movies are being produced now that have something in them to push a homosexual agenda, and that creates conflict in us. All of us are growing tired of what seems like monthly and sometimes weekly school shootings. Come on, public gatherings are being shot up by people. Innocent lives are being taken. All of us are being shaken simply because there's pure evil in someone's deranged mind. And it causes us to be in conflict. Gun violence, gun laws prohibit the Second Amendment. No, I'm for it. I'll come take my guns over my dead body. It causes conflict. Racial tension still continues to plague our nation as inequalities and injustices still continue to take place. It's conflict. 100 seconds from midnight. Scientists are agreeing midnight's coming. It's close because the world has never been this connected and the world has never been this conflicted. It's never been this connected and it's never been this conflicted. It's like a ticking time bomb, church. It's slowly ticking down, and if we don't learn to navigate biblically through the many conflicts that we face every single day, we will not effectively relate with one another, church, and we will not be successful at accurately showing the world around us the love of Jesus, which is the only thing that can save people from self-destruction. It's the only way. The bad news this morning is that people are going to hurt us even if we do nothing to deserve it. People are going to upset us even when we've tried to do our best to serve them. Conflict is inevitable. If you're not in conflict, I'm not trying to speak anything over your life, but it's coming. If you're not in it, you're going towards it. If you're in it now, praise God, you're coming out in Jesus' name. God sent me this morning to say to everyone who calls Life Church their home, let's not be the types of people that hurt one another. Let's not be those types of people. Let's not hurt others by being immature Christians. We should be mature in our faith. We should be obedient to His word. I'm here to say we're better than that, church. Come on, somebody. I'm here to say we're more mature than that, church. We care more than that. We're not going to let these things seep into our minds to where it divides us. God wants us more than anything to be unified, and we're better than that. Most of all, this is my heart's desire. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be closer to Him than ever before. So that means I want to treat one another how Jesus treated people around Him. We are the people of the book, church. Come on, somebody. And my Bible says, make every effort to live at peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. See, I'm preaching myself happy already. Come on, somebody. I love the Lord. That sounds amazing. Oh, wow. That's great. Blessed are the peacemakers. How in the world do you do that? I'm glad you asked. How do we handle conflict appropriately? How do we respond with love and not react emotionally? How do we do that? Yes, we pray. It may not be easy, but the Bible gives us some clear instruction on what to do if we're in conflict. And the first instruction I pass on to you from God's word is simply this. Tell the person you have a conflict with what the problem is. Tell the person. Am I saying be snarky and you are an idiot? Because, no. Tell the person you have a conflict with what the problem is. Why should you do that? It's because we can't fix what we don't know about. We are not mind readers. Jesus teaches us. This is one of the hardest passages of scripture that Christians have a hard time doing. I've been in church a long time, and I don't see many doing this. Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point it out to them just between the two of you. Because what we want to do as people who live in a sin-broken world, we want to adopt the system of this world and the pattern of this world, and we want to go ahead and say, hey, can I tell you something about what they did to me? And we get in someone else's ear. Instead of going to the person, Jesus continues, He said, if they listen to you, you've won them over. Praise God for that. But if they will not listen, take accountability with you. Take one or two with you and say it again, because so that every matter be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. This means that your opinion is not the only opinion. That helps us understand that there's balance to what we're dealing with right here. We have accountability with someone. Like I was dealing with my children, my wife stepped in and held me accountable. We don't react like that. We need that. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, then treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. See, this is a tough scripture. It's difficult. Church, that tells me if someone misses the mark with you, it says if someone sins against you, if someone offends you, if someone does something to hurt your feelings, if someone makes you angry, if someone upsets you, can I tell you, take it to that person. It doesn't say post about it on social media. Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say tell your best friend and spill the tea on the phone. Tell the town gossip that you know isn't going to keep things between just the two of you. It doesn't say fume about it secretly and put a mask on when you're around that person. Come on, somebody. That's real talk right there. It doesn't say write the person off. Come on, somebody needs that this morning. It doesn't say block the person and cut them out of your life and avoid ever feeling that pain again. It says to take it to the person and do it man to man. Do it woman to woman. Do it just between the two of you. And I think this truth, it's trying to teach us to see that Jesus doesn't want us to be passive aggressive. He doesn't call Christians to be passive aggressive. He wants us to be kind while being assertive. Be kind while being assertive. That's good preaching right there. I chose those words carefully because I want Life Church to be full of people who are kind but also have a voice. Full of kind people that are assertive people. How we deal with conflict as a church, it matters. How we handle this instruction will shape the outcome of what God does in us and through us as a church. Come on. We cannot be passive, church. We don't have that option when Jesus said, do everything possible to live at peace. We cannot do nothing. We have to do something when conflict comes. But how we do it makes or breaks the situation. Before you and I take our issue to someone that hurt us, here's some good advice. We need to ask this question. Ask yourself, is how I'm bringing this issue to this other person, is how I'm doing it making every effort to live at peace with them? Or did I bring an indictment with evidence to prove my point and make them feel bad? Which is it? You got Holy Spirit, test me. Search my thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting. We got to ask ourselves, were we trying to be a peacemaker or were we trying to prove a point? Were we trying to be a peacemaker or were we trying to validate our stance? Church, I'm here this morning to simply say it's easy to pop off. It's easy to mouth off at somebody. It's easy to make someone feel this big. Come on, anybody done that and felt terrible after doing it? It's easy by proving our point. Our sinful nature makes it easy to lay into one another, to just let loose. If given the right opportunity, I'm going to take it. Oh, you deserve this. I've been waiting for this moment. That's our sinful nature. It's easy to go off on someone and dish it out and be unfiltered when we're upset. Anybody lose their filter when it gets late at night? I got to be careful at night because my filter gets lower and lower. But church, God sent me this morning to say with conviction, it's hard to bring conflict to a person in a way that wins them over. It's difficult to do that. God wants us to see what His Word has to say about bringing our issues to one another. Here's some other proverbs on conflict. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. If you're hot-tempered, you're going to stir things up, not bring peace. But one who is patient calms a quarrel. I don't know about you, but I want to be patient. I want to calm the quarrel. If we have a problem with someone, Matthew 18 tells us to take it to them, just the two of you. But if you know you're hot-tempered and you know that you have the propensity to go off, can I just invite you with some good advice? Take 24 hours. Take at least a day. Sleep on it and say, you know what? Am I really doing everything that I can to live at peace in this situation? Wait before you respond. Otherwise, you might react in a way that brings more harm than good. Come on. Proverbs 16, verse 28, it says, a perverse person, that's pretty straightforward. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is simply no good. I don't want to be that type of person. If you like stirring the water, can I just let you read God's word real quick? It's on the screen. Please read that. If you like agitating people because you can, because you've got a quick intellect, and because you can pop off and smartly and succinctly tell your stance and make someone feel stupid. If you like hearing about the juicy gossip and you like spreading it too, come on, somebody. God sent me to preach this morning. God sent me to simply tell you, please stop. Stop. Gossip is a cancer. It's a cancer that will divide us. And gossip should have no place in the church of Jesus Christ. That is good preaching right there. We should shout hallelujah because gossip will not be permitted in this church. We will address it when it comes our way because gossip is a cancer. What is gossip, Pastor? Let me give you a simple definition. My definition of gossip is taking a problem to somebody who can't help fix it. If you take it to a person who has no business or no ability to fix the problem, then you're in gossip. God sent me to preach his Bible in James chapter 1, verse 26. It says, those who consider themselves righteous and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Wow. James is like the sucker punch. He just got us right there. If you consider yourself religious and yet you don't be careful how you speak to others, you deceive yourselves. Proverbs 28, verse 25, it says, the greedy stirs up conflict. Oh, but praise God, those who trust in the Lord, they're going to be the ones that prosper. Those who do everything to live at peace will prosper. See, this morning, if you've got conflict with somebody, if you've been hurt by someone, please, I want to, as your pastor who loves you, please find a way to take it to that person directly. Please take it to them. Schedule a meeting with them. Schedule a phone call with them if you can't meet. Try to get face to face with them. And here's another warning. Try to avoid a text message or written communication because people cannot see or sense your emotions through written communication. They need to see the look on your face. They need to hear the tone in your voice. And if that doesn't work, then get some accountability to surround you and try it again. Meet in a public place. Here's a great advice. Meet in a public place with a few others so that if the conflict is something that would get you riled up, there is a public arena that will keep you calm because you're not going to go crazy in the middle of a restaurant. Come on, somebody. If that doesn't work, then get the leadership of the church involved. That's Matthew 18. And if that doesn't work, then the church will help with disciplinary steps. I know it's tough, but that's what it looks like to make every effort to live at peace. I wish we saw more of this in the body of Christ. I want to invite the band to come as we close this morning. I've got one more passage of scripture that's straight from our Lord and Savior's mouth. It's one of the most convicting and challenging passages of scripture to really genuinely live out with conviction and integrity. It's very difficult. I don't know how much more plainly Jesus could spell it out for us, but if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. This is how Jesus expects you and I to handle conflict when it comes to our interpersonal relationships. Jesus said, to you who are listening, I say this, love your enemies. Wow. Holy Spirit, just rest on that real quick. Let that be illuminated this morning. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. May Life Church be a people full of individuals that love their enemies as Jesus called us to. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. What? What are you talking about? If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to the other cheek so they can have room to slap you also. If someone, wait a second. It's Jesus Christ. It's the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's the Son of the living God. It's the bright and morning star. It's the author of all life, the creator, the magnificent one, the holy of holies. He is the Alpha, the Omega. And he said, if you don't love your enemies, If someone mistreats you, pray for them, care about them. If they slap you, yeah, give them the other cheek. I'm glad he did that for me. I'm glad he didn't just tell us to do it. He did it for us, church. Turn your cheek. If someone takes your coat, then don't withhold your shirt from them. Give them even more. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. That is so countercultural. Do to others as you would have them do to you. He keeps going. This is where it gets real. Jesus gets all up in our business. He said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What effort does that take? Even sinners love those who love them. Even non-believers. And if you do good to those that are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even unbelievers, even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even non-believers, even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. Again, he says in verse 35, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High God, because He is kind to the ungrateful. Our God is kind to wicked. And Jesus said, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's amazing grace. Amazing grace. Make every effort. See, church, the last thing I'll share this morning is being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. Being offended is going to happen, but walking in that offense and letting that conflict fester and not taking it to the person, not praying for your enemy, not giving to those who are never going to give back. See, something or someone is going to make you angry. Do something for those people. Can I say that again? Something or someone is going to make you angry. Do something for those people. Something or someone is going to get under your skin. Come on, somebody. Pray for those people. Something or someone is going to rip you off. Be generous with those people. Being offended is inevitable. Loving is a choice. Living offended is a choice. We can't close people off just because they've hurt us. Max Lucado said it this way. He said, conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about grace, church. It's all about grace. The people of Jesus Christ should be full of grace. Grace has saved us. Grace has transformed us. Grace has forgiven us. I want you to be reminded right now, close your eyes and bow your hearts and your heads in this holy moment and just remember the grace that has been lavished on your life. Remember what God has forgiven you of. Remember the things that He saved you out of. Remember the things that are still buried in the water of baptism because you have been made new. Remember those things. Grace has set us free, church. Grace stretched out His arms on the cross of Calvary and said, Father, forgive them. They don't recognize what they're doing. Grace gave us another chance. Grace gave us another chance after that second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Grace gives us breath in our lungs. Come on, somebody. Grace has made us new, church. That's who we are. And if Christians would remember where we came from, then as Christians, we will lead with grace. We'll lead with grace. I've made my fair share of mistakes. I know I've fallen short of the glory of God. I still, from time to time, hurt people. I still have a hard time because I need to be careful not to give a death look when I'm angry because I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I have the ability to hurt others because I don't hide things well. I need to be careful, and sometimes I will hurt you, and I sometimes will say something I don't mean, but God wants us, when we do those things to one another, especially as the family of Jesus, to come to each other and say, look, that really hurt, Pastor, or so-and-so. We take it to the person. There's sometimes where my actions have deeply hurt the people that I love the most, and I think I'm not alone in that. Many of us in this room have hurt people that we care about deeply. And I'm here this morning one last time to say that we should be the most grace-filled people in the city of McDonough, because we are beneficiaries of amazing grace. A person who cannot forgive has forgotten how much they've been forgiven of. A person who cannot forgive has forgotten how much they've been forgiven of. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, this is where it gets personal. This is where the rubber meets the road. Hebrews said very clearly, make every effort, everything that you can do, do to live at peace. If you're in this room and you're feeling a conviction of the Holy Spirit right now, Pastor, I know that there's conflict right now in my life. If that's you all across this room, you'd say with honest integrity, there is conflict that needs to be resolved in a healthy way. I need God's help because there is conflict right now in my life. Stand to your feet all across this room. Pastor, I need help because there's conflict. I think the majority here, I'm going to be kind, but I'm going to be honest with you. I believe almost everyone in this room should be on their feet right now because there is something going on in your interpersonal relationships that you need the Holy Spirit's help with. If that's you this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I need his help. I can't do this on my own. Stand all across this room, all across this room. Thank you, Jesus, for these individuals. I want to read a scripture over your life. It's the last scripture I'm going to read this morning as we pray. Jesus said this. You've heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, ugh, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. I challenge you to leave your gift there at the altar and then go and be reconciled to them and then come into the sanctuary and leave your gift. The commission and the challenge this morning, you've got conflict in your life. It's not to bring it to the altar for prayer. It's to go and make it right. Go and make it right. Go and make it right. Go bring it to your brother or sister and do it in kindness. Do it in love. If they've hurt you, then pray for them. If they've betrayed you, then bless them. Do whatever it takes to live at peace. Father, you see every heart that's standing right now. You know the situation. You know the circumstance. And God, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence right now. God, I thank you for empowering us. Right now, the last thing we're going to do, if you'd say, Pastor, I'm willing and I'm ready to do whatever it takes. I'm willing and ready to be obedient to Hebrews 12 and to live at peace the best I can with every effort I can. I'm ready to do that. If that's you, lift up your hand all across this room. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you see every hand. You know every heart. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit power would rest on every hand that's lifted. God, that you would give them the mental stability, the emotional clarity, God, the strength from on high to do this right, to handle this conflict appropriately, the way you would shine your face of approval on. And God, I pray that you would bless it. God, I pray that every conflict would be resolved. God, that every relationship that is at odds would be mended in Jesus' name. Every broken relationship, we call for it to be restored in Jesus' name. God, we pray, God, that every wrong that we've done would be forgiven. God, that we would be a people that both extend and are given much grace because we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give God a round of applause this morning? Hallelujah.